As you may have noticed, my wife Amy is out of town this weekend, and she's on a pilgrimage retreat in Marble Falls. And so, you're just lucky I'm even here. I'm just kidding. Last night, and really, you might be, because last night, as I was trying to get ready to bed, go to bed early, because I actually ruminate and write my sermons on Sunday mornings, I was doing this work, and suddenly the TV came on, and UT was playing USC, and suddenly I was staying up, and I was watching this game, and I was like, oh, good, it's about over, it's fourth quarter, and then the game went into overtime. And I went, okay, it won't last very long. And then I remembered that college rules mean that there's no sudden death over time. We just keep going and going and going and going. And so I kept watching and watching and watching and watching because it was a great football game. I don't know how many of you stayed up and watched this football game last night. But that game had everything you want. All the excitement, all the defense, just enough offense to score points. And a great ending, not a great ending if you're a UT fan, obviously, but still a great played game. I mean, really exciting to watch. And so as I was watching that game, though, I had a sermon thought. Amazing, huh? And I had this thought about huddles, actually, about huddles. Because in a huddle, especially in these really stressful moments in a football game, it's this moment where the whole offense gets together and has a little powwow and does a little bit of encouraging and a little bit of just making sure they're all on the exact same page as to what's about to happen. And it's really important, especially in those big play moments, that these happen, because we want everybody doing their jobs well and doing their jobs right. This is what a huddle is for. As we come into our scriptures today, Jesus and his disciples are in a sort of huddle. I'm reading from two different passages, one in the Gospel of Matthew, one in the book of Acts. These passages are when Jesus is meeting with his disciples right there in this place to tell them that he's basically about to go away. Say, I'm going to leave. And in this huddle, he gives them the game plan. So first, reading from Matthew chapter 28, and I'll be beginning with verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And from Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power, and when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Here, in this disciples' huddle, we have Jesus as the ultimate quarterback, directing his team forward on to the field for the play. And here in this moment, Jesus gives them a general direction. He says that I want you to go and make disciples, to go and make other people like you. And while you're doing that, I want you to teach them. I want you to teach them everything that we've been talking about here. I want you to teach how to follow this way of living. And then he says, and then I want you to baptize him. Baptize him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the game plan laid out right here for the disciples to live out as soon as Jesus is gone. Make disciples. Teach them all about living this way. And baptize them. And therefore, you will have done something incredible. This is the story of the disciples once Jesus is gone. And there is, it seems to me, a general direction to these passages, though. There's a general direction that it takes the disciples to. The other passage, the passage from Acts, when Jesus is talking to disciples, he doesn't use the make disciples words, but he says instead that you're going to be my witnesses, that your lives and your words are going to stand for me when I am gone. These, your lives and your words, are going to represent me to the world. They have these two passages go together to be how we as Christ's disciples are supposed to be living out our faith in the world. As people who follow Christ, we are meant to live this way. We talked about it the first week in our On Your Mark, Get Set, Go series. We said the first thing we do is follow. And as soon as we follow, what we find is that our task is to be fishing for other people. In following, we are bringing other people along with us and alongside us into this discipleship life. It's the same then when Jesus goes. The task somewhat remains the same, doesn't it? We are to fish for people and bring them alongside in order to live lives according to the way that Jesus taught us to live. And of course, as Amber said, that in order to teach other people about how we are supposed to be living, we actually have to be living in such a way that our lives are a witness to the way that Jesus taught us to live, don't we? I had a seminary professor, Daryl Guder, who came across the concept of witnessing, and he had a revelation that changed the way he talks about Christian living. And he said, the question isn't really whether or not we're witnessing. The question is not whether or not we're witnessing. We are always witnessing. The question is whether or not at any given moment we are a good or a bad witness to who Christ is in the world and who Christ is for us. This is the task, the play, if you will, that Jesus lays before the disciples and the one which we are meant to pick up and run with. This is the general direction of where we are going. But Jesus also has something to say about how that play is going to be run. In our first passage, the passage from Matthew, it says, Go therefore and make disciples. I have heard many times, and I think it just is very helpful to understand that that directive, go, is a present active participle, it's a Greek phrase, and that phrase means that what it means is that it is something that is happening now and something that is going to be happening into the future. So it's better understood to say, as you are going, right? As you are going, make disciples. Right? As you are going about your daily lives, as you are going from this place, make disciples. The other passage talks about going out as well. Jesus says, look, you're going to be my witnesses. But you're going to be my witnesses, like, here, right here in Jerusalem, where we currently stand. But you're also going to be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and throughout the whole known world. You are to be my witnesses. You see, the general direction of Jesus' of the play here is that we are going to be out. That we would spread out, that the message, the word, that our lives would, the message of our lives would spread out from here all over the place. This spreading out is the play. That is what we're doing. We're spreading this out as far as we can get it to reach. And so we live and we teach and we act according to the way that Jesus taught us. And thereby, as we go from these places, we live lives that are worthy of that, and the message and the truth spreads. It's a beautiful picture and a well-planned play. But it seems to me that the church, have over the last decades settled into something a little different than that. And what I mean by that is that we have often, over the last 20 to 30 years, decided that the way to go about making disciples, the way that we should go about making disciples, is by having programs, by having greater, bigger, better programs, by having things that attract people to us. That if the building is nice enough, if the programs are good enough, if the worship is worshipful enough, then people are going to be attracted to that, and they're all going to want to come in and hang out with us here in this beautiful space and life and community. And it's a beautiful picture. It sounds great. The problem I have with it is I'm reading these particular scriptures. The problem I have with it is that that's not what the scripture says to me. These scriptures say that we are going to be out in the world making disciples, not asking them to come in here and hang out with us. If you can, we've been doing the Field of Dreams sort of thinking. That if we build it, they're going to come. Or if you prefer Wayne's World, if you didn't see Field of Dreams, it was in there too. But this model of if you build it, they will come is not the biblical model for how we are supposed to be sharing our faith. That, one, when I read these passages, it says that each of us, the onus for making disciples is on each of our shoulders. As Christians, as Christ followers, the onus falls squarely on us to be in the world and making disciples and living as witnesses. In this model, the model we've chosen, it seems much more that we've said it's the church's job to make disciples. That through our programming, or even through our preaching, that we're going to make disciples by bringing people in and thereby learning, and then they will attract more people in. Do you hear the difference? That as what we are supposed to be doing is out in the world, acting and talking and living in such a way that Christ is made known out there. Not simply proclaiming Christ in here as loudly as we can with the windows closed. The problem for us, maybe the challenge for us, is that making disciples is not the church's responsibility. As the church, as an organization, as an institution. No, making disciples is our responsibility, is the church's responsibility. Because each of us bears that as we live our lives in the world. This, to me, is the heart of how we, I guess it's both the problem for us and the big promise for us, is that if we are doing this, then Jesus says that he's going to be with us until the end of time. Until the end of time, Jesus stands with us in this work. You see, there's something quite frightening about talking about Jesus out there, isn't there? There's something just a little bit intimidating about suggesting that Jesus might actually have some answers for people's lives out there. However, these passages don't let us off the hook. See, this is the play. And so we have a choice to play it. And the huge grace in this moment, despite the challenge, the huge grace in this moment is that Jesus is saying, look, you get to participate in the salvation that God is playing out for the entire world. Should you choose to live and to behave this way, should you choose to share what you know, you are participating in bringing people into the kingdom of God. And you see, Jesus is not leaving us alone in that task. For the Holy Spirit will come upon us. The Holy Spirit will pour over us. And Jesus will not abandon us, even though we cannot see him. No, Jesus says, I am with you. Because you are living as my witnesses. See, this is the huddle. Jesus, as we gather in this space, this is our huddle. And Christ is saying, God is saying, go, therefore, and teach. Make disciples and be my witnesses in the world, so that all may know, to the ends of the earth, the glory of my grace and love, so that all may hear the message of salvation, and so may all may join in into this play, into the game which God has been playing all along. Amen.